Hoping everyone is in one piece after the lightning and storms rolled through mid-Michigan here early this morning. It got pretty intense around 6 or so, and it would appear there is no need to run the irrigation systems today. We got quite the downpour along with the thunder and lightning. Welcome back to Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. If you found yourself putting on a sweater or light jacket on cool evenings this summer, you've probably wondered what's going on with the weather. The polar vortex that visited us so harshly last winter made a return visit a few weeks ago, dropping temperatures below normal. Now, it turns out that there's at least one upside to climate change and one that could help our farm economy. Current State's Kevin Lavery is here with more. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Mark. At the end of June, the United States Department of Agriculture published a report that showed a record number of acres of corn, soybeans, and wheat were planted this spring in Michigan. Some people believe that climate change is lengthening growing seasons and making more land receptive to crops. Others, though, are not quite so sure that global warming is really the reason. We have two perspectives on this. First, I spoke with Jim Byram. He's the president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association, and Jim explains how land that's been fallow for decades is coming back to life.
Anybody that's traveled northern Michigan has seen those fields. They have fences around them that maybe had been used for pasture in years gone by, or maybe for a forage crop like alfalfa or something like that, that have been lying idle for years. And we're now seeing some of those fields come back in production, and there's crops being grown in the northern lower peninsula and even into the upper peninsula. In fact, we have soybeans as far north, we understand, as the Keweenaw Peninsula this year. So we're seeing crops move north, and it's all about climate change and better technology.
I know this is a generalization, but when I picture the terms climate change and greenhouse gases and global warming, you sort of picture this North Pole down effect. You generally picture southern climates are better for soil and northern climates are colder.
We're getting longer days. We're getting more days that are free of frost, so we can farm a little bit further north. But we're seeing several other factors that are brought about by climate change, not just the longer growing season, if you will, but also extreme weather. The extremes themselves are longer and more frequent, and that's causing some issues. So I don't want anybody to think that these changes are all great, because there's some downsides here as well, and we're seeing them. Gosh knows we saw it last winter with the most severe winter we've had and perhaps ever. And those kinds of things are just another symptom of climate change. So there's wins, there's losses, and we need to become resilient and be able to adapt.
How can people in agribusiness really try to make long-term predictions about what to plant and where, and to realize that this is a trend, it's going to change, it's going to fluctuate from year to year, but what does this mean for a long-term business model for farmers in northern Michigan who are seeing new opportunities?
It's an interesting question, and while we focus on what happens in Michigan, record commodity acreage here this year, corn, soybeans, and wheat, the same thing is true in North Dakota, the same thing is true in Montana, the same thing is true in Minnesota and Wisconsin as well. So we're seeing the upper Midwest become more like what used to be the Midwest. And this is going to take time. It'll be several decades as this continues to move north. But as it does, and we're seeing it already, we're going to have more acreage that's in commodity production further north in the U.S. and into the provinces of Canada, which will require more infrastructure to move crops, more infrastructure to handle fertilizer so those crops can be planted. And it's going to be a unique and a brand new enterprise. We, for example, in Michigan, just saw last year the online completion of the northernmost train loading facility that handles grain in Standish, Michigan. Unique property, unique development. Auburn Bean and Grain built that plant because they're recognizing that there's more things going on up north. And we're going to see that trend continue, and those are the plans we're going to have in place.
That's going to require a lot of rethinking about how do we want to position ourselves in the world economy as an agricultural producer.
Well, it does, and repositioning in the world economy means we have to deal with logistics issues. We have to be able to use water for transportation more effectively. We don't use it very much at all now. We need to make sure we have a robust railroad system so we can move commodities rapidly and meet demand. And we need to have a realistic highway strategy to deal with road and truck transportation. We are working on all of those issues today, because certainly logistics drives market opportunities, whether it's a domestic market or an international market. If we can get it there less expensively than somebody else or some other production area, we win the market.
Something else this USDA report talks about is there's been a reduction in conservation land that's been set aside to not farm. And at the same time, again, we're seeing more land being put back into agricultural use. Do you have any thoughts on that push-pull relationship between using more of the land for food and trying to preserve land that maybe shouldn't be used for that purpose?
Largely, the land that came out of the Conservation Reserve Program really was pretty highly productive land that had been put in there by landowners, absentee landowners in many cases, and sure, it came back in production. We fully support the Conservation Reserve Program on sensitive lands, lands that are highly erodible, lands that are very sensitive. Absolutely, they should be in CRP. That's what that program's for. But unfortunately, in the prior decade or prior two decades, there was a fair amount of very high-quality productive land that went into that program. We saw it come out, and certainly the acreage increase here far exceeded the amount of acreage that came out of CRP. So we're seeing a net balance issue. We also are pretty heavily engaged in a whole lot of different conservation programs as an organization and see lots of opportunities to further those issues while maintaining productive capacity, implementing and installing sound conservation practices on land.
Jim Byram spoke of the northward shift in crop planting and more available acreage as a byproduct, at least in part, of climate change. We decided to seek out another opinion on the phenomenon, and we found that among others in the ag industry, the jury is still out.
Answering that question is a lot more complex than just simply looking at it and saying that it's because of climate change.
Laura Campbell is the Agricultural Ecology Department Manager for the Michigan Farm Bureau.
Michigan has got not only an incredible variety of climate types across our state, but also an incredible variation in soil types and weather patterns and other factors that really heavily influence what farmers plant and when and how. You have to look at new developments in those commodities. Are there new varieties that can withstand different conditions? One of the big pushes lately, especially out in the more western states that are more stressed for water, is to develop varieties of those commodity crops that are more drought tolerant. And so looking at all of those factors, I think, is a lot more important than just to notice a trend and to say that it's because of climate change.
Well, the idea of climate change and greenhouse gases and global warming is a fairly new science. It's really only about two or three decades old. So how do we gauge the effects of global warming on our crop production and whether we're having detrimental or positive effects?
It's really too early to tell. Because the science is not very old, because the research doesn't have a whole lot of history behind it, its impact on agriculture really is too soon to be able to point a finger to it firmly, I think, and say, this is what's happening and why.
So when we're talking about trends, you have to really study a trend for a considerable amount of time before you can reasonably make a business decision about what you're going to plant and where.
Absolutely, absolutely. Certainly looking at the past few years, when we had that very, very early thaw and then a hard frost in 2012 that killed nearly our entire fruit crop in Michigan, that was an extreme example of some of the climate variability that we have in our state. But even in a normal year, we do have a tremendous amount of change that can happen just from season to season, let alone over the course of, 50 or 100 or 1,000 years to look at. That all goes into the factor of when do you start up the tractor, when do you hook up the planter and get going.
Laura Campbell is the Agricultural Ecology Department Manager for the Michigan Farm Bureau, and Jim Byram is President of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be out here.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.